Would you join me as we pray? Our gracious, merciful, kind, compassionate, loving God, we've been reminded this morning of your incredible love for us that would send your Son into this world to give himself as a sacrifice for our sin. We do not deserve it. In fact, we deserve the exact opposite. And that's what grace is, not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve, and that is salvation. Lord, we ask today that you will help us to hear what you have to say to us, to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, we pray that wherever each of us finds ourselves in this journey, either outside of a relationship with God in Christ yet, or in a relationship and yet knowing that we're not where we should be, or for some walking faithfully, yet knowing that and having a desire to grow and continue to pursue Christ. Until the day you call us home and we experience some of what we've been singing about. God, we ask for you to oversee our time here today. Guide us in your word. Be our teacher. And apply that word into our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I feel like we've already had a sermon through all that we've, you know, taking communion and the songs that we sang. And though this is very rare for me, I feel like the Lord does not want me to preach the message I had prepared. So here we go. I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 3. I just want to reiterate this reality that we've been singing about and taking communion and pondering of what Christ has done for us. And the simple message of the gospel of our salvation, which is a message not only for those who have yet to come to Christ, it's a message for us as believers to hear again, anew, over and over again, the reality of what God has done for us. The context of this is that Nicodemus, the Pharisee, has come to Jesus by night. Most people believe because he was fearful that the other Pharisees would see him. And of course, they've already begun to question who this Jesus is and wonder, is he from God? And Nicodemus may have been thinking, I'll be ostracized. Who knows what he was thinking? But he came by night to inquire of Jesus about all this. And he's asking him questions, and Jesus goes on to say, you must be born again. And that whole conversation about the Spirit and being like the wind, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going and all of that. And then we come to these couple verses, the first being probably the most familiar verse that anyone who's ever grown up in the church or been exposed to the church knows, and that is John 3:16. But I want to go on from there down through a few more verses. But Jesus said this in response to Nicodemus wondering about all of this that Jesus had been teaching and what it means to be born again and trying to make sense of all that. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. The simple truth should never escape us, that God so loved this world. And by world, He means the people in this world, not the stuff that goes on in this world. In fact, I would venture to say He has a disdain for the things that go on in this world. But the people of this world, this is why He sent His Son. That the people of this world wouldn't recognize Him and believe on Him. That they would not perish, but have in fact the gift of everlasting life. God's love for us is indeed amazing. Just stop and think for a moment how you would treat people who over and over and over again do things to not only displease you, but to offend you. Over and over and over again. Most of us probably know how we would respond, because we have those feelings within us toward this kind of stuff. Perfect example going on right now, right? We know the Olympics are going on. You know, how much has been said in social media and how much disdain has been brought up about the opening ceremonies. Rightly so. Because there was an absolute intended display of mockery to Jesus. And many of you, again, rightly so, like myself, felt disgusted when we saw that. But I couldn't help but think about the fact that I can so easily become offended and disgusted by what I see going on around me, and yet have very little disgust and disdain for what goes on within me. All of this is offensive to God, and yet He said, I love these people, and I'm going to send my Son to give His life so that they might be saved. For Jesus did not come into this world to bring judgment, but that we would be saved through Him. That the world would be saved. That the people in this world should be saved. From what? From the disgusting things that happened. From the mockery. From the disdain that people have for Christianity and for Christ. He came, died in their place that they might be saved. He came and died in your place and my place that we might be saved from ourselves and from our sinfulness. And it simply comes down to this. In verse 18, it says, He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed. And this is the judgment, that Jesus the light came into the world and they would not receive it. They would not receive Him. They would not believe Him. They would love the darkness rather than the light. Again, I find myself easily gravitating toward judgmentalism, toward that kind of stuff, and toward the kinds of things that we hear going on around us. Just in the last couple weeks, I've heard three or four different things that have happened in our own community of people that I know, some in ministry, some not in ministry, but they've done things, have been found out about it, and it's easy for me in my heart to cast judgment and to think how terrible that is and be very easily to pass through this, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Give myself a pass on the things that I do mess up on. And I find that it's so important for us to recognize, before we ever come to realize what Christ has done for us and to embrace that for ourselves, we must have an understanding of our own sinfulness. Jesus didn't come to bring judgment, though judgment will come in the end. He came to bring salvation, to bring hope. You know, I don't know how we're supposed to respond to when we see these kind of things go on in our world. But again, I found myself, am I more concerned about the world acting like the world, or am I more concerned about me as a follower of Jesus not acting like Jesus? And I know I'm more concerned about what the world's doing and how they're not doing what they're supposed to be, how they're mocking the Lord and how they're continuing to cultivate stuff that is just so disdainful. And yet I am not aware, mindful. I do not find myself upset enough about the reality of my own lack of following Jesus. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, actually, about all this. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus came not to judge, but that the world should be saved. What should our heart be? Maybe when we see this kind of stuff, it should break our heart that these people are lost to such an extent that they are cultivating this kind of stuff. And it's not just what happens on TV and around the world. It's happening in our community. It's happening in our neighborhoods. It's happening sometimes in our own home. And our hearts should break for the people who are lost and dying in their sin, and will one day face judgment because they love the darkness rather than the light. Praise God for the person or the people that God brought into your life and into my life that He used to bring about an awakening for us to see our own sinfulness and our need for Christ. Or we would be right there where all the others are. I am so quick to cast judgment in my mind and my heart and almost write people off rather than have a heart that breaks to say these people need Christ, need to repent of sin. Because here's the reality. Scripture tells us, be sure and know your sins will find you out. And when I think about the nation of Israel, you know, as we've been looking through at the prophets, I think about the nation of Israel and how they continued in their sin over and over again for hundreds of years. And God continued to bring message after message, and they wouldn't listen. And finally, God said, enough is enough. He raised up Isaiah. Isaiah said, hey, judgment's coming, but if you will repent, God will relent, and He will not bring judgment upon you. And they didn't listen. And then God raised up Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, judgment's coming. But guess what? It's too late to repent, because judgment's coming. The Babylonians are on their way. They're coming down. Give in to it and go into exile. God will show you how to live as exiles there. But guess what? After 70 years, God's going to visit you in that place, and He's going to bring you back to the land where He sent you into exile. Because that's who God is. God is just and righteous to bring judgment, but God is a compassionate and He's a gracious God who is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and continues to offer it over and over and over again. And then Jeremiah, after it happens, Jeremiah is reflecting on it in the book of Lamentations, and he's like, this is so bad. And he grieves the reality of their sinfulness and yet knows that this is God's plan. And then what does he say in the middle of Lamentations? God's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God is always offering grace, though we deserve punishment. Because Jesus came not to judge, but to that the world might be saved through Him. I don't know where you are in your journey with the Lord. You might be wondering if any of this stuff is true. You may not understand all that that means, that God would send Jesus and that Jesus had to die and He had to offer His blood as a sacrifice for sin. And you may not understand any of that. But I would venture to say there's something deep down inside of you, because God put it there, that longs to be loved with the kind of love that a father like this would have, to say, I am willing to give my son and his life to save you, to show you that how much I love you. And I want you as my own. Regardless of all the junk in your life, regardless of all the stuff you have done or all the things that have happened in your life and all of that, I want you as my son or my daughter. And so I sent my son. He would give his life for you. And if as a believer, you take this stuff for granted and you've kind of been living how you want to live. You know, we have at times, because of God's grace, have presumed upon that. And we just continue to just think, oh, God's gonna be okay with this. God's gonna be okay with this. God understands. And because God is gracious, He continues to be patient. One day, if we continue ignoring the Spirit of God and the promptings of the Spirit of God, one day the Lord is going to bring the hammer down. And your sins will find you out. You know, I think about Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 3. When he says, know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking. Here we are, right? Following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. But when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. In other words, if they just would look back, they'd see, oh, God did deal with sin at some point in this history. And if you just go back and look at the history, you see over and over again, God is patient, God is patient, God is patient. And then His patience, He says, it's time. I'm going to bring judgment. And then he goes on to say here, verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, the beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You think, well, God's been waiting for a long time. That's not very much time for God. If 1,000 years is like one day. And then he says this, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. For all to come to repentance. God has been waiting to bring judgment upon this place for all the debauchery that's going on and has been going on. Why? Because God wants to see as many people as possible come to know Christ. And He wants all of us to get serious about living for Jesus. Why? Because He so loved this place and the people of this place, that He would send His own Son. That whoever believes on Him will not perish, will not spend eternity apart from God, but will have the gift of everlasting life, because Jesus did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. May God give us the kind of heart that cares so deeply about where people are in their sinfulness, that we would long for them to come to know Christ, that we would look for opportunities to let them know about His great love. By the way we love them, by the way we speak the gospel to them. That God would remind us when we see this kind of stuff and we find ourselves angry about it, that God would remind us to be just as angry about our own lack of passion for the things of God. And that He would help us to get serious about following Jesus rather than get lulled into a place where we presume upon His grace. Let me end with this, and this is what the story I was going to start with this morning, but it was on the first day of his teaching, a class of 250 college freshmen, when R.C. Sproul carefully explained the assignments of 3-term papers. Each paper was due at the last day of the succeeding month. So the first paper was due the last day of September, the second paper was due the last day of October, and the third paper was due the last day of November. Sproul clearly stated there would be no extensions except for medical reasons. At the end of September, some 225 of those 250 students dutifully turned in their papers, while 25 remorsefully quaked in fear. "We're so sorry," they said. "We didn't make the proper adjustments from high school to college, but we promised to do better the next time." So he bowed to their pleas for mercy, gave them an extension, but warned them not to be late next month. The end of October rolled around and only about 200 students turned in their papers, while 50 students showed up empty-handed. "Oh, please," they begged. "It was homecoming weekend. We ran out of time." Sproul relented once more, but warned them, "This is it. No excuses next time or you will get an F." The end of November came and only 100 students turned in their papers. The rest told Sproul, "We'll get it in soon." "Sorry," he replied, "it's too late. You get an F." And they cried in outrage, "That's not fair!" "Okay," Sproul replied, "you want justice? Here's what justice is. You get an F for all 3 papers that you turned in late. That's what justice is." the students so quickly took his mercy for granted. They assumed it would continue to flow. When justice finally fell, they were unprepared for it. It came as a shock, and they were outraged. Welcome to the world we live in. God has patiently waited, extended mercy after mercy after mercy. But one day, when the fullness of time comes, mercy will stop and justice will fall down. Never mistake the mercy of God for the fact that God will never judge. His judgment's coming. The history of Israel is a perfect example of it. It's coming. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to turn your heart to Christ and say, I believe and I trust Jesus as my only hope for eternity. Now is the time, my brothers and sisters, to get serious about following Jesus. I've often thought, I do not want Jesus to return and find me doing something I shouldn't be doing. I want Him to find me faithfully following Jesus day by day. When the trumpet sounds and the dead are called up, I want to be found faithful. And I'm sure you do too. We need God's help. We need God's help. We need the help of one another. So I encourage you, spend some time alone with God this week, talking to God about whatever that needs to be. And make a decision of your will to yield yourself to the Spirit of God and let God help you walk the walk He is calling you to. Jesus came to save us that we might be transformed. He wants to do that. He will do that. Will you yield to that? And let Him love you with the kind of love that caused Him to send Jesus for your salvation. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I pray that You can make sense of my ramblings this morning. Help each of us. And we might recognize where we are. But most importantly, we might recognize the love that You have demonstrated through Christ to us. God, I pray that if there's somebody in our midst, that today the light bulb comes on. Today the scales have fallen off. Today they say, yes, I get it. I understand. I believe. I'm tired of life according to my rules and my decisions. I want what Christ has for me. God, for the believer who has strayed from the path and maybe has been ignoring the Spirit of God's promptings, today might be the day they say, enough is enough. I repent. I call on the Lord. I accept His forgiveness who has freely forgiven me. And I want to walk with Jesus faithfully. I want to follow. God, I pray that they might have the courage to let somebody in on this, that they might pray with them, might journey with them in this, might encourage them along the way. God, we look around and we wonder how much longer before Jesus returns. God, may you cause your people to wake up and get ready. But there may be one more push, one more time when the gospel goes forth with power before Jesus returns. And God, we want to be part of it. So help us, Lord. For Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. Amen.